Throughout July, we've been looking at Luke chapter 10. And Luke chapter 10, it's on page number 1041 if you want to look up your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 10 is Jesus' instruction manual about how to go. It's him, his disciples have been following him for a couple of years, and now he's giving them instructions. Right, now let's get you practiced in actually going out and making disciples. So we've been looking at this through July, and we've learned that when we're to go, we're not to go on our own, we're to go together. We've learned that we're to go prayerfully, not relying on our own strength. And then last week, we learned that we're to go humbly. And that's really, really important. But this week, we focus on his instructions to go where our message is welcomed. And so I've just got these three verses I want to focus on, Luke chapter 10, verse 5. Jesus said, "When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, or a woman of peace, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages, and do not move around from house to house." To understand the whole thrust of what Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 10, you've got to know that the image that he begins with is the image of a harvest. He says the harvest is ready, and you are the workers, and so you need to get on with it. You know, I've prepared you, now you need to get on with it. Don't hang around. There's a sense of urgency about it. And we touched on that a bit last week. So now we get to verse 5. What's Jesus saying in verse 5? Well, this is how I understand it. He's saying, remember, you are offering peace. What you are offering is peace. Now, when Jesus used the word peace, he doesn't just mean a stress-free Sunday. He doesn't just mean the absence of strife or the absence of war. He means something much, much deeper, because the word peace here is a translation of the Hebrew word shalom, which you probably heard before. It's also an Arabic word salam. But if you like, salam means, and shalom mean much more than just the absence of war. They mean something very, very positive. This is what I've written down to describe the word peace. Peace means, or shalom, means wholeness. It means completeness. It means being at peace with yourself and with the world. And in John's Gospel, Jesus uses a very interesting phrase, which I think sums up the peace that he's offering. He says, "I have come that you may have life in all its fullness." And that's what peace means, having life in all its fullness. The life that we were designed to live, the life that we were created to live, the life God wants us to live, where we have the chance to be one with God through Jesus. Shalom. Oneness with God through Jesus. And so Jesus says here, remember, that's what you're taking out with you. That's what you're offering. You're offering shalom. And it's something the world cannot match. It cannot match. And then in verse 6 he says, wherever you go, be on the lookout for the person of peace. Or it's actually the son of peace or the daughter of peace. Matthew's gospel, he says it slightly differently. He says the person of worth. And by that he doesn't mean the people who are worthy or the people who are good or the people who are upstanding and you know, that's not what he's talking about here. He's almost talking about the inverse. He's talking about the person who recognizes the worth of what you are offering. Someone who recognizes its true value. That's the sort of person you need to be looking out for. Because there are lots of people out there who won't recognize the value of what we are offering. They'll say, "Oh, I'm okay, I'm fine. I don't need this peace. I'm quite happy as I am. You know, my life's going okay." There's plenty of people out there who just, it's just not for them. That's fine. But there will be people out there who do recognize its value. People who are searching or longing or looking for something that they feel is missing from their life. People who are saying, "Well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and I've got this and I've got this and I've got..." Is that it? That's a person of peace. Jesus, he actually tells a story about a person of peace once. And what he does is he uses an image that people would understand. The story is about a merchant of fine pearls. So here's someone who understands what a pearl is, understands its value. And he says, this merchant is looking and looking and looking for the pearl without price. So his whole life's passion is to find the priceless pearl. And Jesus says, when he finds it, when at last he finds it, he realizes that this pearl is worth more than everything else he owns. And so he sells everything else he owns so he can have this pearl without price. That's a person of peace. Someone who recognizes the value of what it is that we're offering. How do you recognize them? Well, the big clue is their response, their welcome, their openness, their offer of hospitality. It's like their welcome to you is a measure of how much they value what it is you're telling them about. There's a story much later in Luke's gospel where we're told about a couple of people who are quite troubled and who are walking this long winding road from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. And these two people had been friends of Jesus, and the last thing they'd heard was Jesus had been crucified. So they're really shocked, and their world is in tatters, and they don't know what's going on. But then to make matters worse, there's a rumor going around that Jesus has risen from the dead. And it's just all too much. And so they're winding their way down this road to Emmaus, and they're just, you know, they're troubled. And unknown to them, the person who joins them on that road is the risen Lord Jesus. And he's the stranger who joins them, and he walks with them down this road. And he says, what are you talking about? And they say, haven't you heard what we're talking about? We don't know what to think. And the story talks about how Jesus says, well, don't you understand the Bible? And then he opens up the Bible and explains how from the Bible it had actually been predicted that all this was going to happen. And as they're listening to him, you know, their souls reviving. And they think, oh, now we're beginning to get it. And then they get to their house, and this stranger who they haven't recognized yet says, well, okay, bye-bye then. They said, no, you must come in. You must come in. You must tell us more. People of peace. You see, they've recognized the value of what's being shared. And the value is measured in their insistence that you come in. No, you can't just go away. You must come in. Watch out for the people of peace. And then verse 7, particularly the last line, do not move from house to house. In other words, once you've identified a person of peace, they are the people that you need to spend time with. Don't go looking for somewhere better to stay. Or someone who's more important, or someone who's, I don't know. Don't judge them by their wealth or their lack of it, or their status or their lack of it, or even their intelligence or the lack of it. What matters most is that their hearts are open to the good news. That's what matters. So you need to commit to them. You need to invest in them, whoever they are, young, old, rich, poor. You get the picture. And I'm reminded here of someone who used to be a member here called Andrew Beach. Hands up if you know Andrew Beach. Quite a few of you do, Andrew. Well, Andrew Beach got to know two young lads from Gracemount, and they were utter wasters. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. They came from broken homes. They didn't know what was up or down, right or wrong or anything. But Andrew was constant. He was the person that they could trust. And so they stuck to him like limpets. And I've watched over the years as they've grown up. Andrew hasn't given up on them. I mean, they've still got a long way to go, but Andrew has not given up on them. He has not said, oh, well, fine. I'll go and find someone else. That's what Jesus means here. Don't move from place to place. When you find the person of peace, invest in them. They're important to me. There's a lovely example of early Christians encountering a person of peace in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, who are on a missionary journey, have been told by God in a dream that they should go to Europe. Stop messing around in Asia Minor. You've done enough here. Go to Europe. So off they go. They cross the Bosphorus. And the first town they stop in is the town of Philippi. which is a Roman colony. So here we've got a reading. What happens next? On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. There were no synagogues there. Usually they'd go to synagogue, but because there's no synagogue, they go to the river. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman of the city of Thyatira, whose name was Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I can just imagine the conversation there. There's Paul and Silas by the riverbank. There's these women who've gone there to pray. "So where are you from?" "Well, actually, we're from Antioch, but we've been right through Asia Minor. We're Jews from Jerusalem originally." "Oh, that's interesting. So why have you come here?" "Well, I mean, this is going to sound weird, but we had a dream, and in the dream, God told us that we had to come here." "Why would you want to come here?" "I mean, why? "Well, it's just that we've got this amazing news about this person called Jesus and the difference he can make in people's lives." "Have you?" And one of the people who responds is this woman called Lydia. She's a person of peace. And how do we know she's a person of peace? It's because she firstly opens her heart. I mean, it strikes a chord. "Oh, maybe this is what I've been looking for all my life. Tell me more." And then she's baptized. There's going to be baptisms happening later today. And then she invites them into her home so that she can learn more. And I can just imagine all the people who are gathering in their home, because she'd be quite well known. And particularly her friends and those close to her, when they see the change in her, they're interested. What's this all about? I mean, if Lydia's interested, then maybe it's worth listening to. Maybe it's worth finding out about. And so it goes on, and so it goes on. Person of peace. So, what have we learned today? Well, this is what I've written down, because this is what I learned when I was looking at this passage. I've been reminded that it is the same peace that we are being asked to share. The same shalom that we glimpse when we become one in God through Jesus, through his life and death and resurrection, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, knowing that we are on a journey that's just begun and that the best is still to come. But my goodness. I mean, it's very, very hard to explain to people who are not Christians what being Christian is without talking about the experience of it, because it's a real experience. An experience of real, it's something special. So that's the first thing I've been reminded. Second thing, I've been reminded that our task is to be workers in God's harvest field. Okay, God's going to grow the wheat. Our job is to sow the seeds and then to be there for the harvest. Our job is to look out for the wheat that is ripening. Our job is to look out for the persons of peace. People who welcome our message. The third thing, I've been reminded that these people can be recognized by their response, their welcome, their hospitality, and that we are to be ready to accept whatever we're offered, however big, however small, without judgment. And that's why it's so important, as we were learning last week, that when we go, we need to go humbly. And linking this to what's happening today, what is truly remarkable about the people who have come today to publicly declare their faith is how different they all are. They're a real mixture. You'll see this for yourselves when they come forward. There's a difference in age, there's a difference in background, there's a difference in experience of life, there's a difference in the journeys they've been through. But what they all have in common is that they're all open to following Jesus. And like Lydia before them, they are sons and daughters of peace. And just as God used Lydia, because her house became the first church in the continent of Europe. The first church in the continent of Europe met in Lydia's house. And just as God used Lydia, I'm looking forward to seeing how God's going to use these people. all five of them, even six if you include young Eliot. Jesus talks about when we go out to sow the seed, some bears 30-fold, some bears 60-fold, some bears 100-fold of what is sown in us. So I'm really looking forward to how God's going to use them. But what about the rest of you? What about the rest of you? Have you been, or are you even now, the person of peace that Jesus is talking about? Is that you? Is that someone that, oh, that's me? Is your heart open to the shalom which Jesus alone offers? Is your heart open? Are you longing for a freedom from all the things that drag you down in life? Things that worry you or shame you or burden you? Because that's the freedom that Jesus is offering. Do you want to be the person you were created to be? I was reminded, thinking about this, of a famous painting. It's the last slide. You've probably seen it before. It's by the artist Holman Hunt. And it portrays a verse in the Bible from the book of Revelation where Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And there's no handle on the outside of the door because the handle is on the inside. Because he never forces his way into anybody's life. But what's on offer is shalom. Oneness with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Here I am, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, or eat with that person, and they with me. So are you that person? There'll be all sorts of reasons why we're here today. All sorts of reasons. But I know and believe that underneath them all, God has been at work. And the reason is so that you might have a chance to experience the shalom that he offers. So shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the peace that is beyond our power to understand. So it's not an intellectual thing, it's a heart and soul thing. We thank you that it's not based on what we've done. It's based on what you've done for us. And it's not conditional on what we do, but on what you can do through us. So open now our hearts, as you open Lydia's heart, and fill our lives with your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.